Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
Martha Berry had a very big dream. Growing up in a rural community, she was surrounded by thousands of children who were too poor to go to school. In Martha's community, it was considered much more important for children to help on the farm than to learn to read. But Martha knew that these children needed an education. And as a dedicated Christian, she was moved with compassion to do whatever she could to educate children from poor families. So Martha Berry started a school and took in boys and girls and began to teach them for free. Now, to be honest, Martha was an unlikely lady to accomplish something great. First of all, she herself lacked a university degree. She lacked teacher training. Secondly, she lacked connections. She didn't know wealthy and important people. She was from a small town in a poor region. And perhaps the most challenging fact was her lack of money to run the school. The obstacles seemed overwhelming. But Martha Berry knew the secret to overcoming lack. She did all she could on her own and trusted God for everything else. Soon, so many children came to her school, she had to expand her facilities. She began looking for finances to build new buildings. She traveled the country looking for help and raising money. And then one day, Martha Berry got a great opportunity. She was introduced to Mr. Henry Ford, the founder of the Ford automobile and one of the richest men in business. He was a millionaire. She shared her dream of educating poor children with Mr. Ford and told him of all that her school was achieving. Then she asked for his financial assistance. She boldly asked Mr. Henry Ford to give her $1 million. But to Martha's surprise, Henry Ford gave her a very small donation worth less than $1. In fact, he gave her a coin. It seemed so small, especially in light of all the millions he had. Many people would have been insulted with such a puny donation. I mean, after all, you have millions and all you gave me was a coin? What would that small amount do in the face of such great lack? But Martha was not discouraged. She took what Henry Ford gave her and she went to the market and bought some seeds. She planted the seeds and grew a crop. She sold the crop, bought more seeds. She planted those and harvested the crop and sold it. After 3 or 4 harvests, Martha Berry had enough money to buy a piano for her school. Then Martha wrote to Ford and said to him, "This is what your donation has done." And Henry Ford was so impressed with Martha's commitment to her dream that he wrote her a check for $1 million. But not only that, Ford began donating millions more to the Berry School. He built buildings, purchased land, and invested so much that the simple Berry School eventually grew to become a university. The university that Martha Berry founded still operates today and is named after her. In fact, it has the largest physical campus of any university in the world, consisting of over 28,000 acres of land. And it all began with nothing but a dream and a determined Christian woman who knew how to break through lack. There's a powerful lesson for all of us in the true story of Martha Berry. When you give God what you have and trust Him for the rest, there is no limit to what God can do. He is the God of the breakthrough. He can meet every need and break through your lack. And what He's done for others, He will do for you. But just like Martha Berry, you've got to take the seeds God has given you and sow them to get your harvest. That's the lesson we learned from Martha Berry and the lesson we're going to learn from Jesus Christ today as well. But before we learn more about today's truth, let us bow our heads and pray together. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank You that You are the God of the breakthrough. And no matter what our need or problem or lack is today, You are well able to break through and supply abundantly. So teach us today the secrets. Teach us the keys that will help us break through lack, that we might walk in the abundance spiritually, physically, materially, in every way that you've planned for us. We submit to you now, I bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit to come and minister light and life and power and truth to our hearts. We give you praise now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to invite you to take a moment and join your faith with mine right now. Just put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to today's broadcast. It's a joy to have you with me right now. And I trust that God's power and presence will touch you right where you are and that your life will never be the same. You've picked a great day to join me as I continue our sermon series titled Breakthrough. As we draw near to the end of the year, God is encouraging you with promises of victory and breakthrough for every area of your life. This year hasn't been easy for a lot of people, but God wants to remind us of his unlimited power. He wants to remind us that there is nothing impossible with him. And if you will draw near to God as we draw near to the end of the year, God is going to show up and surprise you with a breakthrough in your life. If you believe it, say amen. Well, that's what we discovered last week in the sermon, Breakthrough the Impossible. We studied the story of a man born blind who received his sight through the power of God. When he couldn't see Jesus, Jesus saw him. And when the man born blind did what Jesus told him to do, he tapped into the power of God and received his sight. And that brings us to today's message entitled Breakthrough Lack. See, God is not just interested in providing us with huge supernatural blessings and miracles. He also wants to provide for our daily needs as well. God doesn't just provide for us spiritually and eternally. He provides for us in the here and now, in the everyday, and in the things we need to live an abundant life. So to help us learn the secrets of how to break through lack, we're going to study the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 found in John chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. Our scripture text is on your notes and it's on your screen. Now receive the word of the Lord. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip. Now take note of that. He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You know, of all the miracles that Jesus performed, I think this one may be one of my favorites. It's not necessarily the most important miracle, but I like it for 2 reasons. First, I like food. And second, I like miracles. So any miracle that involves food has to be one of my favorites. Amen. But what I also love about this story is how it shows the love of Jesus for all of us who have ever faced lack. See, if you're watching today or listening today and you're experiencing a situation of lack in any area of your life, then take courage. Jesus cares about you and the problems you face, and he has compassion on the needy, and he understands the suffering that lack can bring. He's not just interested in saving your soul. He's interested in every detail of your life. He cares about your prayer life and your bank account. He cares about your soul and your stomach. And in this beautiful story, we can learn the secrets for how to break through lack in our own lives. So let's take a few minutes and examine the three stages to break through lack. And here's stage one. God uses lack to reveal kingdom values. There's a little verse hidden in the middle of the story that helps set the stage in motion. It's found in John 6:6, and it says this: Jesus was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. And here's what we all need to learn from this verse. When you face a lack in your life, it is first a test from God to see your response. God already knows in advance what he's going to do to meet your need and solve your problem. He already has a solution for you. John 6:6 tells us Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He already knew he was going to multiply the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. See, the situation you face today is not a surprise to God. The devil didn't catch God asleep when he came to attack you. The opposition you're facing didn't take God by surprise. He knew you would come up against this trial. He knew the marriage would be delayed. He knew the money would run out. And he's got it all under control. God's not worried. God's not up in heaven wringing his hands saying, "Oh no, what am I going to do to help John out? How can I solve Sarah's situation?" Not at all. God never breaks a sweat. God never shakes in fear. God is never confused or puzzled or alarmed or worried. He doesn't have hypertension or heart attack or panic attack. He already has it figured out. God already knows how to move the money to your account. He already knows how to balance the checkbook and pay the bills. He already has your life partner in mind, and he's simply getting him ready for you. If you met your life partner now, you might not even like him because he's not mature enough yet. But by the time you meet, God will have perfected him. So hold on to your faith. The Lord already has a house lined up, a contract waiting, and a connection in place. And when you face lack, simply know that it is often a test to see how you will respond. That's why the first step to break through lack is to overcome a lack of faith. You have to build your faith in order to break through lack. If your faith is in earthly things, then you'll miss the key to victory. For the truth is, before you can move into miraculous provision, you have to embrace kingdom values. You have to get centered on the values and priorities of God's kingdom before you can access his miraculous provision. As long as you hold on to your own ways, God is not obligated to share his riches with you. Too many Christians today have reduced the gospel to physical prosperity. But listen, friends, God's not here just to make you rich. Jesus didn't die so you could have a nicer car, a bigger house, and a vacation in Dubai. He didn't die to provide your material needs, for he was already providing the material needs of his people from the beginning of time. Jesus didn't need to die for any other reason than to purchase your salvation and the forgiveness of your sins through his shed blood. And when you embrace kingdom values, you come to a place of faith and trust. When you embrace kingdom values, you don't ever need to worry about provision, for provision of your material needs is automatic when you have kingdom values. That's what Jesus taught us in Matthew 6:31 to 33. Listen carefully. So don't worry about these things, saying, "What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?" These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. In other words, embrace the kingdom, and your provision is automatic. Don't worry about it. Trust God, and he will take care of it. That's why Jesus tests Philip. He wants to know if his disciples have learned any of the lessons about faith that he's been teaching them. And God often uses lack to test us. In the Old Testament, God tested the children of Israel when they went wandering around the wilderness. They had no farm, no food, and no roots. And God used that to test and see what was in their hearts. Listen to what the Bible says about them in Deuteronomy 8:2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. And the same is true for all of us. God tests all of us. He tests all of us to know if we were out for the money or if we're out for kingdom values. For the fact is, God wants to meet your needs. He wants to bless you. He loves to bless his children. But he knows that if you get greedy, your life will get difficult. He wants you to have money, but he doesn't want money to have you. And if you hold on to your wealth with a tight fist, it's going to fail you. It's not going to produce the freedom and the peace and the happiness that comes with the kingdom of God. In fact, when greed gets a hold of your heart, it always leads to bondage and death. This truth can be seen in the story of the ring-tailed lemur. On the island of Madagascar, there's a very special animal called the ring-tailed lemur. Now, this creature is smart and very hard to catch. He's quick and clever, but he has one weakness. The ring-tailed lemur is greedy. And when a hunter knows this, he can easily capture this lemur. See, all a clever hunter needs to do is to place some nuts in the bottom of a Coca-Cola bottle. Then the hunter ties the Coke bottle to a tree and waits. The ring-tailed lemur will come along, stick his greedy little paw inside the bottle, and grab the nuts. But with his paw full of nuts, he makes a fist, and when he tries to remove his paw from the bottle, he's unable to pull his hand out. And because the ring-tailed lemur is greedy, he won't open his paw and release the nuts. If he just opened his paw and let go of the nuts, he could pull his paw out. But he would rather hold onto the nuts at all costs. Even in the face of danger, even when the hunter comes along to capture him, the lemur won't let go and be free. And friends, that's exactly how a greedy man is. He hoards and stores up and refuses to let go. Even when his life is on the line, a greedy man won't release his grip on things. And the fact is, money answers all things, but money is not the answer. That's why before God removes your lack, he wants to remove your greed. Before God fills your empty pocket, he wants to fill your empty heart. For the fact is, materialism is an attempt to fill an empty soul. And God wants your soul filled with his love, not filled with the love of money. Don't misunderstand me. God cares about your physical need. There's no doubt that our physical needs are important to God. He's great compassion on the poor. He's given us multitudes of promises regarding our provision. But at the same time, his top priority is our eternal salvation and our relationship with him. That's why Jesus taught us in Matthew 16, 25 and 26, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? There is no price to your soul. The whole world can't replace it. So in any situation of a lack, attend to your soul first and trust God to provide in his time. For the truth is, it's possible to have your outward need met but create a greater need in your soul. It's possible to become rich materially while becoming poor spiritually. That's what happened to the Israelites when they wandered through the wilderness between Egypt and the promised land. Psalms 106, 13 to 15 tells us, they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. In other words, the people of Israel got greedy. They demanded from God, and God provided for them, but their physical prosperity brought spiritual poverty. And this is the great danger facing the church today. We've gone after money to the place where we've abandoned God. Our churches are richer than ever. Our pastors are prospering. Members are getting breakthroughs. But our spiritual state is declining day by day. We're in serious need of revival. In fact, if it came down to a choice, it's better to be poor and right with God than rich and far from him. That's why Proverbs 28:6 says, it is better to be poor and honest than rich and evil. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. Fortunately, as children of God, we don't have to choose. We can have both physical prosperity and be honest as we follow God's ways. So understand that I'm setting the stage for you to break through lack. When lack comes to test you, give yourself to God. Commit to stand in faith in Him alone. Don't sell your destiny for bread. Don't let the devil bribe you out of God's will. God is testing your response. And when you respond in faith and submit to His ways, the Lord will work on your behalf. And that brings us to the second stage of overcoming lack. God works in accordance with our response. Our story continues in John 6, 9 to 10. Listen to what happened next. Then Andrew spoke up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish. And in this passage, we enter the second stage to break through lack. God works in accordance with our response. See, there was a miracle waiting to happen, but that miracle was only released when there was a response from man. Oftentimes, God doesn't do the supernatural if you won't do the natural. Last week, I taught you that God often requires our participation in miracles. This is especially true in the area of financial provision. More than any other type of miracle, the miracle of financial provision requires our participation. Miracles of provision always require our involvement, not just our faith, but our active participation. And it's the same today. God is able and willing and ready to give you a miraculous provision, but He's calling on you to participate with Him in the miracle. And most often, what is required is for you to give Him whatever you have. When you sow what is in your hand as a seed, God takes it into His hand and makes it a harvest. The problem for many of us is that we have a scarcity mentality. We think if we only have a little, then we need to hold on to what we have. But God's ways are not man's ways. In the kingdom of God, the way of gain is the way of loss. The path to abundance is to give away what you have. That's why God tells us in Proverbs 11, 24 to 25, one person gives freely, but gets even richer. Another person doesn't give what they should, but gets even poorer. Anyone who gives a lot will succeed. Anyone who renews others will be renewed. And that's what happens in this story. When the young boy gave Jesus what he had, Jesus multiplies it to meet the need. There was no food around, but the boy gave the little he had to Jesus. The disciples didn't think it would do much good, but that's because their perspective was wrong. They didn't see what Jesus saw. But when you see what Jesus sees, you'll know that God can work with anything to produce anything He wants. God works with what He has to create what you need. See, the fact is, God always uses the provision at hand. When there was nothing at all in the material world, He used His word to create all things. When God created Adam, He used the material at hand. He formed Adam from the dust of the ground. And when God created Eve, He used the material at hand. He took a rib from Adam and made Eve. That's why women are more beautiful than men. You see, man was made from raw material, but woman came from finished product. God uses the material at hand, and what may look insignificant to you is a seed of greatness to God. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Everything in your hand is a seed. Everything in God's hand is a harvest. And if you'll give Him the seed in your hand, He will do miracles. When you use what you have in your hand, God releases what He has in His hand. That's why in Exodus 4, verse 2, the Lord asked Moses, "What is that in your hand?" And all Moses had in his hand was a wooden staff. But God used that staff to part the Red Sea and bring deliverance to His people. See, friends, God can use anything to break through lack. He always has enough to get the job done and meet the need. You never need to worry about where the provision will come from, because God can use whatever is at hand to meet the need. So don't allow what you don't have to keep you from giving what you do have to Jesus. That's the lesson we can learn from a great man of faith named George Mueller. George Mueller lived in Bristol, England, where he founded and operated an orphanage for 62 years. During that period, he cared for over 10,000 orphans. And the most amazing thing of all is that he did it all by faith, trusting God for every need of the home. Sometimes things got tight financially, but God never failed. One day, the house mother of the orphanage informed George Mueller, "The children are dressed and ready for school, but there's no food for them to eat." George asked her to take the 300 children into the dining hall and have them sit at the tables. He thanked God by faith for the food, and they waited. George Mueller knew that God would provide food for the children, as he always did. And within minutes, a baker knocked on the door. "Mr. Mueller," the baker said, "last night I couldn't sleep. Somehow I knew that you would need bread this morning, so I got up and baked 3 batches of bread for you. I will bring it in." Soon there was another knock at the door. It was the man who delivered milk to the market. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. The milk would spoil by the time the wheel was fixed. So he asked George Mueller if the orphans could use some free milk. And so it was. Year after year, George Mueller raised over 10,000 orphans for Christ by simply putting what he had in God's hands and trusting God to do the rest. For the fact is, your response of faith releases God's provision. So how can you respond to lack in such a way that it will release God to work? Maybe you're watching or listening today and you say, "But Pastor, I don't have anything to give God." But no matter who you are or how big of a lack you face, you always have something to give to God. When you have nothing else, then do what Jesus did. Use the material at hand and give thanks to God by faith. See, here's the interesting note in this story of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus gives thanks before the miracle takes place. He tells the disciples to seat the people, but there's still no food. I don't know about you, but in my house, I don't get called to the table to eat before the meal has finished cooking. When my wife cooks, I'll often be in my study working. But when the food is ready, she'll call me and say, "Food is ready. Come to the table. Come and eat." And only when I get her summons do I come to the table to eat. But Jesus calls the people to come to the table before the food is multiplied. And he takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish and gives thanks before they're multiplied. The problem most of us have is that we don't say thanks to God till after we've seen his provision. But here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Thanking God after a miracle is gratitude. Thanking God before a miracle is faith. And when we respond in faith, we give God what we have and thank him for what he will do. Maybe you need to give God what you have so he can do what only he can do. Maybe you need to take time today to thank him and praise him by faith. Thank him not just for what he's already done, but thank him by faith for what he's yet to do. The miracle of provision may not have manifested yet, but when you thank him by faith, you release a powerful force that opens the door to break through lack. And when you respond to lack in that way, God always rewards you with abundance. And that's our third stage to overcoming lack. God rewards us with abundance. Listen to the amazing conclusion to this story in John 6, 11 to 13. They all ate as much as they wanted. Somebody say hallelujah. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who'd eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Jesus broke through the lack and brought the disciples to abundance. Jesus took them from not enough to more than enough. From 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus used the material at hand to create food for the 5,000 and 12 entire baskets of food left over. You know, a lot of Bible scholars say that the 12 baskets remaining at the end was one for each disciple, but I don't think so. I don't think the disciples carried the 12 baskets full home. I believe those 12 baskets full went to that little boy who gave in the first place. For the fact is, God rewards us when we pass the test and respond to Him. God promises abundant provision. He promises to meet every need and to even bless us beyond what we could ask or think. You can't outgive God. He always provides for us beyond anything we could ever give to Him. And when you pass the test and respond to God, His results are always to reward you with abundance. That's why Ephesians 6:8 says, remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do. God's reward is based on the good we do. The more you give, the more God rewards. The more you sow, the greater the harvest you will reap. That's the truth clearly taught in 2 Corinthians 9:6 to 11. Listen carefully. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So hear the word of the Lord to you today. He gives seed to the sower, not seed to the hoarder. He gives seed to the one who gives it away, not seed to the one who keeps it tied up. And when you sow generously, you will reap generously. God promises to increase and enlarge you and supply you. And I speak to you today, God is going to supply, increase, and enlarge you as you give. If you will take what He's placed in your hand and sow it in faith into His kingdom, He's going to replenish your seed. He's going to reward you and restore what you've given. You shall not run out of seed. Your capital will not run dry. Your account will not run empty. And your harvest will surely come. If you'll thank Him in advance today for what He's going to provide, you will release God's power. Praise is the language of faith. So give God what you have. Lift your voice in praise, and you too will break through lack. For the Lord's promise to you today in Psalm 34, 9 to 10 says, fear the Lord, you His holy people. For those who fear Him lack nothing. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. You will break through lack and move into abundance when you fear the Lord and follow His ways. It begins when you embrace kingdom values. You will overcome lack when you overcome lack of faith. And it accelerates when you respond to God and give Him what you have. For everything in your hand is a seed, and everything in God's hand is a harvest. And your breakthrough is complete when God rewards you in abundance. That's the promise of His provision for you today. That's how you too can break through lack. Almighty Father, I pray for everyone watching and listening right now. I ask You to move in our hearts, O God, that we will not seek material things, we will seek the kingdom. For when we embrace Your values and deny ourselves, we know that we're on the road to guaranteed provision. So, Father, come and fill our hearts today, not to focus on the provision, but to focus on the provider. Help us not to focus on the promised land, but help us to focus on You, the promise giver. And as we surrender to You, Lord, let us see whatever You've placed in our hand that we can give to You, even if it's our praise and our thanks, even if it's our prayers, whatever You've placed in us, Lord, it is a seed. And as we sow it to you, I know you will make a harvest for your people. I ask you to meet every need of those watching and listening today. I pray that you'll reward them and provide for them as they embrace your kingdom values and respond to you by faith in praise, in sowing, in giving. Lord, bless your people. Meet every need. Break through the lack and bulldoze away the barriers and provide everything that's needed, whether house rent or food or school fees or loan payments. Lord, whatever is needed, God, do it and provide for your people. I release provision in accordance with your word. And I thank you and I praise you today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God richly bless you.
God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagos. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30 or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience.